as we deal with this technical issue of the Gospels, it's important for us to understand the implications of these passages. We pray that you'll make it clear to our mentalities what the Word of God is saying, that you'll help us understand it. And we pray that as we present possible solutions to this issue, that we'll be able to think them through, understand the implications, and go away with some concrete solution in our minds. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. Now we've been studying discipleship, and we've entered into that passage in John 13 through 17, which is a very, very unique section where our Lord deals with his disciples. And in the context of that first incident there, the supper that the disciples were having in John 13, came across a statement where some of the disciples thought that when the Lord dismissed Judas or asked him to leave, that he said to him, go and buy those things that you have need of against the feast. But if the chronology of John is correct, they've already had the feast of the Passover, and we use that as a springboard to enter into a problem in between the synoptics and John. Now, what I'd like to do, first of all, is try to clarify the problem. Maybe the overhead will have room. Maybe we will have space. I was going to use the blackboard, but maybe we'll have enough space on the overhead. Let's see if we can. Well, that's been moved. I can see that. First of all, we want to try to state the problem so that we all understand it. So if you don't understand it when I'm done, why stop me? Now, we're going to put two columns here. And in the left column, we're going to look at passages that indicate that Jesus and the disciples ate the Passover lamb on the proper day. Jesus and the disciples ate the Passover on the 14th of Nisan. Maybe I should just say 14 Nisan. Now, I'm assuming that you know that the Passover in the Levitical economy, in the Mosaic economy, in the Jewish economy, was to be celebrated at eventide on 14 Nisan. Okay? The Passover lamb was taken on the 10th day of Nisan, was examined for 3-4 days, and 14 Nisan become the day of preparation, and then on the evening of 14 of Nisan, when you're moving into the 15th of Nisan, you slay the Passover lamb at eventide of 14 Nisan, which means you're almost in 15, then you eat it that evening. Okay? Okay, now did they eat it on the 14th of Nisan? Alright, let's look at the synoptics. The synoptics all agree. I want you to look at the Mark passage, Mark 14, 12 through 18. We'll look at that one because that sort of gives us somewhat of a complete picture. Mark 14, verses 12 through 18. Now, in the New Testament celebration of the Passover, 14 Nisan was always the first day of unleavened bread with these people. You may not gather that when you read Leviticus, but as they celebrated in the New Testament, in every passage, it's clear that that is the day of unleavened bread. So you read this in the 12th verse of Mark 14. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover. Yeah? It was on the day that they killed the Passover. His disciples said unto him, where wilt thou, or where do you wish that we go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? Now, it has to be, see, on the day that the Passover was to be slain. So he sent forth two of his disciples, and he said unto them, Go into the city, and there shall you meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wherever he shall go in, whatever house he goes in, you say to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where's the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he'll show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. Now there, in that spot, make ready for us to eat the Passover. And his disciples went forth, and they came into the city, and they found that he had said, found as he had said unto them. They discovered it was like he said. And they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and eat, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you that eateth with me shall betray me, etc. See? I'm trying to show you that that is the same type of context that you have in John. I read that far to show you that. Our key verse was the 12th verse of Matthew, of Mark, which said that it was on the day that the Passover was to be killed, right? Well, now all the synoptics agree. Let's look at the other ones. Just Matthew 26:17. And it doesn't mention the day that this is the day that the Passover was to be killed in this one. I think the Luke does. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciple came to Jesus saying, Where do you wish that we should prepare for you the Passover? He said, Go into a city to such a man. Say to them, My master says, Come, make ready, etc. Okay? Luke 22:7. Now, I think this one repeats, if I remember correctly, 22:7. Repeats the idea that it was the day that they were to kill the Passover lamb. It was on that same day. Yes. Luke 22:7. If you'll notice the first verse of 22, you have this indication that Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were co-joined in a sense, as they were in the Old Testament, but now vitally co-joined, where they're almost looked upon as one big festive time. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called Passover. Now when you think of Passover, what do you think of Passover as? Don't answer. I'll tell you what I think of Passover. Don't have time to listen to everybody. Passover to me was always 14 nights on when they slew the lamb in the evening, and then the next day began the Feast of Unleavened Bread. See? Okay. In practice, in the New Testament, the two are co-joined into one big festive 7 days. Now, if you lived outside of Palestine, if you were one of the diaspora, how long the diaspora, those who had been dispersed since Babylon, the diaspora celebrated it 8 days. When I read Leviticus, it seems to me that there's 8 days there. But when you get to New Testament times, their former celebration was they had co-joined those, and it was one big 7 festive days of feasting. And here you have an identification of Passover with the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread. See? But to me, as I read Leviticus in Exodus, Passover was this day. The next day began the Feast of Unleavened Bread, etc. So on, see? But not so in the celebration. Okay. So, in the 7th verse, you have this direct reference then to this particular day. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. Got it? That's the 14 nights on eventide. So what we have here is that the synoptics all agree. Now, what do they all agree upon? They all agree that Jesus and the disciples ate the Passover on the 14th of Nisan. Okay? Here is 14 Nisan. Here is 3 to 5 p.m., which is the normal time for the slaying of the Passover lamb. Okay? And then you ate it afterwards. 3 to 5 would be the normal time for slaying of the lamb. and then you'd have to eat it at even time meal. In other words, you'd eat it sometime after 5 p.m. Now, the Mishnah says that you had to have it all eaten by midnight, and you couldn't leave anything left over. I guess you had to use a disposal for what you couldn't eat. It had to be all gone, and nothing could be, no remnants could be left around. In other words, you had to be cleaned up by midnight. Josephus said you had to have it eaten by the next morning and have nothing left along. But anyhow, this was the normal procedure, and it appears that the Gospels are confirming that this is what they practiced the night they had that meal, because it had to be on the day that the Passover lamb was killed. That's the big point I'm trying to make on this left side of that margin, okay? The synoptics say they did this. And when I mean they, I mean Jesus and his disciples. All right? Now turn to John. And we have to have a head for the other passage, John 18. So on this side, we want to look at passages that indicate that Jesus died. The very time the Passover was to be slain. When I say Passover, I mean the Passover lamb. Maybe I should insert that in there. Okay? In other words, if he dies about that time, then there were Jews that had not eaten the Passover, right? Well, let's see. If there were some Jews that had not eaten the Passover, then it would indicate that there's a conflict between the synoptics and John. Let's make it that way. Right? And to fulfill the Old Testament type, you would think he would have to die when Passover was slain, wouldn't you? That's another issue. See, all those issues revolve around. This really isn't what I had down in my note that I made. I put that Jesus died before the Jews had eaten Passover, but let's just put that before Jews ate Passover. Okay, now there are two of these. I think we looked at one last week, but let's look at them again. John 18, 28, and John 19 and verse 14. And what we're trying to do in looking at these passages is to get confronted with this chronological problem. All right? Now, let's assume according to the synoptics, Jesus and his disciples ate the Passover lamb on the day it was to be killed. All right, then you have to go to John, and in John, they're having the meal, and while they're having the meal, Jesus reveals who his betrayer will be, the one who dips his sop, the one to whom I hand this sop, and it's Judas, and he says, whatever you're going to do, get out and do it. And get do it fast, okay? So Judas leaves. So then Jesus institutes the Lord's table with his 11. And he says, this is the blood of the new covenant. And he has to go through the whole spiel in John 14, 15, and 16. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. It's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to be your teacher. And you're going all the way through this context of John 15 and John 16, see? Then they have to leave the upper room. And they go out, and the Bible says it was night. And they go to Gethsemane, or they're on the way to Gethsemane, or maybe even in Gethsemane, and he prays the great high priestly prayer of John 17, see? Now all that took time, right? All of that was after the supper. Here's the eventide meal, so all of that's after the supper. Now, it's in that garden, then, that he is arrested, right? Right? Nighttime. The next morning, he's taken for trial. And we have all of these sort of mock trials. He goes through the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin ushers him off to Pilate, and Pilate offers him off to Herod, and he's shot back to Pilate, and he ends up in Pilate's hands. Now, when you are in John 28, he is before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, and he's going to be taken from there to Pilate. And you read, verse 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas, from his trial with the Sanhedrin, unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, meaning very early in the morning, which meant the Sanhedrin had to even meet before that to try him, which is very understandable. They wanted him dead. So they were trying a rush job, see? They were trying a hustle job on the judgment. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, this is because the Gentiles were there, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. In other words, they didn't want to be defiled by coming into contact with the Gentiles and the things of the Gentiles on this preparation day for Passover. You with me? Which meant they hadn't eaten the Passover, right? That's all it can mean. In other words, we are down here in time in the morning, early in the morning. And here it says that they wouldn't go into the Gentiles' hall of judgment because it would defile them and they couldn't eat the Passover. Got the problem? Okay. Another passage is the 19th chapter and the 14th verse. We have a very similar statement. And here, and it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and Pilate now says to the Jews, behold your king, and they cried out, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate says, shall I crucify, and so on, and then they crucify our Lord. So you have another statement there. See, it's preparation for the Passover, which is indicative that the Passover had not occurred. Okay. So there is an obvious conflict then between what the synoptics say about Jesus and the Passover and what John says about Jesus and the Passover. Or is there a conflict? That's the issue. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to try to endeavor to give you some solutions to the problem. Does anybody have any questions about the problem first before we go on? Yes, Paul? Well, the problem is that they're all Jews that he's talking about. On the left side of our column, we have Jews, Jesus and the disciples. And on the right hand of our column, we have Jews, et cetera. So, any other questions? So it wouldn't matter if it's, whether it's calendar. Leviticus? Exodus, okay.
Right.
And Leviticus 23. So you're saying one of the solutions is the problem of the 7 and the 8 days, way of celebrating. That's part of it. There's more to it than that, but that's part of it.
Was there a difference in the celebration of Passover when it was at Jerusalem and when it was not at Jerusalem, like during the captivity?
The question is, The guys in the make tapes keep reminding me to repeat the questions, and I always forget, so they get on the tape. The question is, was there a difference between the way the diaspora celebrated the Passover and the way the Jerusalemites, is that what you mean? Yeah. There was the 8-day and the 7-day problem.
The Passover was instituted without the temple. And when the temple was built, there was a difference, wasn't
it? It wasn't so much from when the temple was built as it was from when the diaspora began celebrating the Passover away from Palestine. Yeah, there was a slight difference, and that's part of the solution. All right, let's work up some solutions. Let's work on some possible solutions. Some of these may not be so possible, but I'm going to put them down because you may hear them sometime, and I don't want you to be caught up short from them. Restate the problem, okay? The problem is that the Synoptic Gospels indicate that, clearly teach, that Jesus and his disciples ate the Passover on the day that the Passover lamb was to be slain. It's very clear, it says, on the day that the Passover lamb was to be killed, and it's clear that they ate the Passover on that day. But John indicates, now, if they ate it on that day, you would think that all Jews would eat it on that day. But John indicates that the Jews had not eaten the Passover yet, particularly the leaders of the Sanhedrin, particularly Caiaphas and those around him. So that when Jesus was arrested and they went to take Jesus to to Pilate, a Gentile court, they would not enter into Pilate's house because they would be defiled by so doing, and they wouldn't be able to eat the Passover. So the problem is there a conflict between what John indicates about the Passover and what the Synoptics indicate? Yeah. Now, of course, some liberals look at it and they say there is an obvious problem. It's an irreconcilable problem. Either the Synoptics are right or John is right. Either the Synoptics are right and John is wrong, or John is right and the Synoptics are wrong, and they dismiss the thing. See? They don't want to wrestle with the problem. But I don't want to give you that kind of solution. I want to give you some solution that conservatives try to offer, and some of them are not solutions, but you might be confronted with them. Any other questions about the problem? Okay, point one of solution. Jesus did not eat the Passover. Jesus did not eat the Passover. He and his disciples in the upper room. In the upper room. In other words, there are some conservatives who try to say, well, that really wasn't a Passover feast that they had in the upper room. Well, I don't know how in the world you could coordinate that solution with what it says in the Gospels, in the Synoptics. It's very clear in the minds of the disciples that that was a Passover they were going to. And they were making preparations for the Passover on the day that the Passover lamb was to be slain. So I think this is a very, very poor, quote-unquote, solution. See, there were special festive-type meals that they did have in those days. That they had technical names for them. But none of it will suit the context that you have in the Gospels. The Gospels indicate that it was a clear Passover. So I don't see this as a solution. So in my mentality, I X this one out pretty quick. Okay? Second possible solution. Jesus ate the Passover 24 hours early. Jesus ate the Passover 24 hours early. This is what I was taught in seminary. Okay? And the idea here, the idea in this argument is that he knew that he would die. He knew that he would die. on 14 Nisan. So he ate it early. Okay. Now the big question is then, how do you explain the synoptics? See? Question. How does this explain the synoptics? Because the synoptic says that when they went to town, it was the day the Passover lamb to be killed. So it really doesn't explain the problem, does it? Not fully. How does this explain the synoptics? It doesn't, is the answer. So I consider it somewhat weak, although if you qualify it somewhat, why, it's possible that it can, if you can, you can make a good answer out of that. Third possible solution that some have presented, these are all conservative people that are Bible believers, this one says they ate the Passover. They ate the Passover, meaning the disciples and Jesus. They ate the Passover on 14 Nisan. Jesus dies on 15 Nisan. And the Sadducees, or the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin ate the Passover late. As part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the idea there would be that on 14 Nisan, when all of this was going on with the normal Jew, the Sanhedrin was so occupied with their business with Judas. Judas leaving that meal, coming to them, telling them where he was going to be, and they're making certain that Jesus was arrested and that there was no escape. Their personal involvement in all of this was such that they didn't have time to eat the Passover. And then the next morning, they got up very early, called a meeting of the Sanhedrin to try to have a mock trial and have him crucified and put out of the way. And then John says that the next day was a Sabbath after that, so they had to hurry up and get it done. So they didn't eat the Passover then until the 15th of Nisan, just this little group of Sanhedrin, not all the Jews. What else do we want to say about that? Oh, yes, this solution then says that John 18:28, some of the people who hold to this would say John 18:28, we'll put this in quotes, okay, does not refer to the Passover per se, but to the entire feast. Okay? I'm putting that in quotes because that's what this those who offer this third viable solution, this is what some of them would say. I'm going to give you some names under this in case you want to read further. These are the men you would read. Geldenhees, who has a book out on Luke, Gospel of Luke by Geldenhees in the New International Critical Commentary. Edersheim, some of you have heard his name. Edersheim sought this solution. Edersheim was a converted Jew from Oxford. And Linsky is a Bible-believing Lutheran who believes in expository-type ministry. Now, there's another person who follows this line of thinking who would say, quote, yes, they ate the Passover on 14th of Nisan, along as all the Jews did, and then Jesus died on 15th Nisan. But the Sanhedrin was occupied with the the arrest of Jesus, the arrest and trial, and had to eat the Passover 24 hours late. Okay? That would be Hendrickson. Hendrickson. D-R-I-K-S-E-N. Hendrickson has a... Hendrickson is a Reformed physician, a commentator on Scripture, expositor, has many commentaries on the New Testament. So under the third category then, under the third possible solution, they ate the Passover, that is the disciples and Jesus, and then when John says there were those who did not yet eat it, one group of writers in that category says what that means is that they didn't eat the whole feast yet. They didn't want to be unclean for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Another in that same category is number three, says, well, it really doesn't mean that. It means that they didn't have time to eat it because they were involved with the trial and arrest of Jesus Christ. And this is their solution to the problem. I want to give you another one that I feel is probably the best myself. This is the fourth possible solution from a conservative point of view. I call it, this is my terminology for it, I call it the modified, maybe that's misleading. No, I think it's correct. The modified 24-hour early solution. And that's my title. You'll never hear that anywhere else. I don't think you will anyhow. Okay, here is the solution then. The Jews actually celebrated the Passover on two consecutive days. By the way, this is not my solution. This is my title to a solution that has been presented for years by various German believers and some American believers. So I don't want to misrepresent that this is my solution, but let's be clear. The concept here is that the Jews actually celebrated Passover on two consecutive days. In other words, Passover lambs were eaten at even time on the day they were slain. Passover lambs were eaten at eventide on the days two they were slain. I'm going to give you several arguments that lend support to this. Okay? First of all, there have been studies done to show that the Galileans had a different method of computing the length of a day than did the Judeans. That is, there was a Galilean method of computing what was a day. There was a Roman method of computing what was a day. There was a Judean method of computing what was a day. So that the 14 of Nisan would not necessarily cover the same time span for everybody. Okay? Now let's see if I can put this on the board so that you can understand it. I better look at my drawing first. Oh, I wanted to bring another pen. I forgot. Well, okay. I blew that. If I put it on a board, it might... Would somebody go into my desk, please? And in the top... Paul, would you... Top left-hand drawer as you face where I sit, like I'm sitting in. Top left-hand drawer, there's a pencil holder, and there's a red felt-tip pen in there. Would you bring it to me? It's solid red. The case is red. And maybe I'll do this on the overhead. Now, here are the two methods of computing a day. There is the Galilean Pharisaical method of computing a day. Galilean Pharisee method of day computation. Thank you, Paul. Okay? No, that's the wrong one. There's a skinny one, Paul. There's a skinny one. Okay? It has a smaller, you know, pointy thing. Thank you. Thanks a lot. That, okay. Boy, that's service. That's the one and get two. That's right. Okay. Now, down here we're going to put a line, and we're going to call it 6 a.m. And then about halfway we'll put another line, and we'll call that 6 p.m. And up top we'll have a line, and this is midnight. Okay? Now, 14 nisan. 14 nisan in the Galilean method. And if some of you would like the names of the studies that show this or that prove this, well, see me after, because I have them down here on a 3x5 card. 14 nisan would begin here, 6 a.m. It would run up here. See? And then here you have this time when the Passover lambs were to be slain. 3 to 5, and then you have the eating of the Passover lamb. Then you have the slaying. Okay? 14 nisan would continue up to midnight and then come back down to 6 a.m. And you're still in 14 nisan over here. Okay? Okay. 6 p.m. would be sunset, see? 6 a.m. would be sunrise. So here you're computing a day on the basis of sunrise to sunrise, right? Okay. Now, in the Judean Sadducean, here is the Judean Sadducean method of day computation. Fifth, 14 nisan would not begin until here. See? Here we have 6 p.m. Here we have midnight. Here we have 6 a.m., but we're over here, see? We've moved over a notch. And then here we have 6 p.m. again. Now, 14 nisan in this system begins here at 6 p.m. Stands up to midnight, of course, and then comes down and comes back up, like this. So that you have a day from sunset to sunset. And you are in 14 night, your time is moving this way, the way these arrows are going. Here you have 14 night sun, and here you have 14 night sun. See? So that you would have the Passover lamb taken, killed here between 3 and 5 properly, if they could get them all killed within that time. And then you would have the eating of the Passover lamb here. Now, we have overlapped in these 2 days. We've overlapped 3/4 or 12 hours. We've only come 12 hours. We've overlapped 12 hours in those days. See? Actually, when you're looking at this, thirty-six hours have transpired from here to here, right? And 24 of them have overlapped. Here's 6 here. There's 6 here. 6? 24? No, that can't be. 6. Oh, okay, wait, I'm figuring on 12. 12. 18 have overlapped, yeah. Right. Right, 18 have overlapped. Got it? So that, from a Galilean point of view, you would take the lamb in the daytime of 14 Nisan, and you would slay it, and then you would eat it, and you would be eating it on 14 Nisan. But then 14 Nisan would continue on to the morning. Where these people, in the Judean, Sadducean method of computation, would take the lamb on the latter part of 14 Nisan, when you're moving very up the scale toward sunset. But they, too, would slay the lamb on 14 Nisan, from their point of view, and they would eat it sometime at sunset of that day. Okay? Both felt they were partaking of the Passover on 14 of Nisan from their point of view. Okay. Now, several questions are raised with it. One big question would be, would the people who controlled the temple permit Passover lambs to be slain from a different perspective of time? It's very obvious, it's very clear that the Sadducees controlled the Sanhedrin at the time of Jesus Christ, that the Sadducees were in the controlling seat, so to speak, that they put the man in the high priest and so on. These were Sadducees, and they controlled the temple. Now, if the Sadducees are computing from this method of time, would they permit Passover lambs to be killed from a different system of reckoning of time? Well, the answer to that is they probably had to, because they were a minority problem and they had tremendous pressure upon them, and they were more liberal in their attitudes than were the Pharisees. The Pharisees had the popular support of the people. In fact, the Sadducees were always fearful of this support that the Pharisees had. Therefore, they could have forced the Sadducees to the time schedule. Now, there may have been an overriding factor that maybe that issue would not have been raised. And the overriding factor would be this. You could not kill all the Passover lambs in this amount of time. Computing from a Sadducean concept of days, in a Judean concept, you could not have killed all the Passover lambs in that short space of time. It's estimated that there were at least 1 million people in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Now, how all those lambs could be sacrificed, and they had to be sacrificed in the temple area, see? It's virtually impossible that this could have been done. So that issue may never have come up. It may have been that they would have to adapt to taking an extra day for the killing of the Passover lamb. Okay. So in this concept then, the Galileans would slay the Passover lamb. Galileans and Pharisees, and people who use this method of computation. And probably all the diaspora would follow this system, whereas those that lived in Jerusalem would most likely follow this system. Okay, now there's another issue raised. Is it possible in the scripture, or from a scriptural point of view, is it possible to establish this system of computing a day? That is, the Galilean system. Are there other scriptures that indicate that Jewish people, or at least that within the realm of scripture, that days were sometimes computed from sunrise to sunrise instead of from sunset to sunset? Most of you are familiar with the concepts that in the Old Testament, there is quite a majority of passages that indicate in ancient times the Jews determined what a day was by sunset to sunset concept. When the giving of the Passover feast was established, when the Feast of Atonement was established, it was sunset to sunset, the computation of a day. There are a number of these in the Old Testament. Now, are there other passages that indicate that they sometimes computed a day on this basis, from sunrise to sunrise? The answer is yes. That there are other scriptures that indicate that sometimes days were computed on that basis. Let me show you maybe just a couple. Okay. There's one in Acts 4:3. Let's see, how can I make this an intelligible note? Can I? Here I have a day on this diagram, and I have it from, right, I have it from sunrise to sunrise, okay? Okay? I'll try to attack a little note on that. Show you a place where we have a reference in this regard. Acts 4:3. Okay. This is a reference to the arrest of Peter. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in hold until the next day. Day, for it was now eventide. Okay? So from Luke's perspective, when he is analyzing that day, he's saying it was at nighttime that these disciples were arrested, and they were held in prison till the next day, meaning that he considered the next day unquestionably past sunrise. The next day began after sunrise. So you'd have a day there on the basis of sunrise to sunrise. You have another one. It's also in the book of Acts, in that 20th chapter, where Paul speaks along that the Plymouth brethren had to take the Lord's table on Monday instead of on first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7 through 11. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, and apparently they did it in the evening, Paul preached unto them, ready, unless you're willing to consent that Paul spoke from lunchtime all the way till midnight. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morning. He continued his speech until midnight. There were many lights in the upper chamber, so when wind and frost at them, and the guy fell asleep and thought, sail and so on. And then it says in the verse 11, when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and had eaten, and had talked a long while, even till the break of day, which is indication that the new day began at sunrise, so he departed. Okay. So there is some indication. In the Old Testament, there's some indication. Some of it is by intimation. You have references where you have day and then night instead of night and then day. Some of it's by intimation. Okay. The big issue, of course, with this thesis about the solution to this problem is, how was the day of Passover reckoned in Jesus' day? Well, the problem is that it was reckoned two ways, a Galilean method and a Judean method. Okay? Now, that solution doesn't solve all the problems. But it probably solves them better than any other solution that's been presented to this time. And in my opinion, it's a good solution. Now, can I answer any questions that you might have about it? Yes, Paul? But from their point of view, they were both 14 nights on. Okay. Here the day is starting at 6 a.m. Here the day is starting at 6 p.m. So this one is eating Passover when this evening comes, but this one doesn't eat Passover till the next evening comes. Let's assume something here, and I don't want to get into the argument about the day, and that's why I put the day up there. Let's just assume something. Let's say that this is a Wednesday from our method of computing time. This is Wednesday here. Well, we would say then that they ate the Passover on Wednesday. Now, this is Wednesday also up here, right? But they don't eat the Passover until Thursday, our method of computing time. See? Don't put that in your notes that I said that he died on Thursday. I'm just using that as an example. I don't want to get into that argument. That's another issue altogether. Okay? Okay. No. They could do it any time at even time. But the slaying had to take place. Now, in applying this to Jesus, you with me? Apply this to Jesus. Jesus is going to die according to the Levitical type method of computing a day, which is this. Yeah? That's the way he's going to die. He's going to die at 3 o'clock right here. Right here at 3 o'clock you have the death of Jesus Christ. You have the crucifixion at 9 o'clock. You have the lights going out in all the world, or at least in the Jerusalem area, at noon. And it's dark until 3 o'clock, and he dies. You have the rendering of the veil in the temple right after that, so that when that high priest went to go in to slay the Passover lamb, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. See? All that is happening over here. And the arrest is coming up here. Here is the arrest. Here is the trial down here at 6 a.m. And here is the crucifixion. And Jesus is dying in fulfillment of the Levitical economy of Passover. 14 nights on this method. Well, the problem is that even the Romans compute time in several different ways. And the problem is that the... Pardon? Well, you want to remember that this is import people up here. These are the diaspora coming back. How many of these were holdovers down here from the ancient Judean system? I don't know. But they would. It's more likely that they would hold on to the old system longer down here than they would up here. Okay? Yeah, if you want to read about that, I'll give you some places you can read about that computation, how the Galileans and the Pharisees had a difference in computation. It's understandable when you understand that this, you know, even Galilee. When was Galilee re-established after the diaspora? Was it ever really firmly re-established? You have the problem with Samaria, of course. And then you have Galilee north of there. That's understandable that they might bring back with them some things that they didn't have before. Yes, that's another aspect of it. Yeah, that they were Galileans. Problem was that John was too. But John is writing his gospel around 90 A.D. and he's living in a Roman colony. And he is not necessarily writing for Jews. All the time elements in John can be recorded from a Roman point of view of time. So this is another aspect. John is writing much later. He's writing, he could be using some Roman time elements. He has to be when he says that in the ninth hour, or in the third hour, how did he say that? In the third hour, I can't remember. It was about the third hour. That has to be Roman time. See, that doesn't jive with the Gospels on the hour of the crucifixion or whatever that hour meant. I can't recall. In the 19th chapter. So John has to be computing from a different method, and he's writing much later. So there is another part of the solution that gives validity to it. He's writing around 90 A.D. where the Synoptics wrote much earlier. And John is apparently more concerned with the Roman world than he is with the Jewish world, when he writes. Well, there's a lot more ramifications. There's a lot more notes that I could give you on this, but I don't want to belabor the point. I just wanted to confront you with the problem while we were passing over a passage that the problem should not be ignored. There's a man named Joseph Pickle who wrote The Messiah. I think it was written in German and translated by Andrew Green in 1946. And he indicates in that book that there were so many people at Passover in Jerusalem that it's virtually impossible that they could slay all the lambs in one day in the temple. And there is no evidence that they ever got so loose that they would slay the lambs anywhere else but in the Passover. In fact, that was their bread and butter. So they kind of hung in there with that. Okay? Well, no, not at first, but we're talking about this time. Okay? Yeah. No. Is that right? Is that what Cohen taught? So the reference he's making is the man who was the founder of this converted Jew who was the founder of the American Board of Missions for the Jews. And what she's saying is that he taught that. No, I know he did. Okay? No, Cohen. He was the founder of the whole movie. He's dead now. No, Erbach is a local representative for that person. Okay, next week we're going to take up with the next verse in the 13th chapter. We get back to something more objective where Jesus says, after Judas was going out, Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. So we thank God for the time. We thank you, our Father, for this opportunity of confrontation with this problem that is certainly not insurmountable. We thank you for others who have wrestled with this. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will make this information that we shared meaningful to each one that's come. In Christ's name, amen.